And hello once again from David Rutledge. Welcome to the Earshot podcast. One of the things I love about music is the ways in which various styles are always mixing and merging. People get a bit sniffy about authenticity in music. You know, I only like real blues, or I only like genuine country and western. But the truth is that every music genre is always a hybrid of other genres if you go back far enough. And that's certainly the case with the style of music we're exploring today, the irresistible dance phenomenon known as cumbia. Cumbia is associated with the towns and cities of Mexico, but cumbia originally came from somewhere else, and its future lies in any number of different directions. Moses Iten is a DJ with a project that goes by the name Cumbia Cosmonauts. He's based in Melbourne, but for the next half hour, he's taking us to Mexico City.
Para usted que le gusta la buena música en México, óyelo, empieza el Raúl López bonito, bonito.
Cumbia.
¡Toque mágico, sonorámico!
¡La cumbia!
¡La cumbia!
¡La cumbia va a empezar!
¡Vamos a bailar! ¡Díselo! ¡Vamos a bailar! ¡Y díselo! ¡Empieza la cumbia, sonorámico!
¡Ah!
Imagine, you're standing in a street surrounded by a wall of speakers 5 meters high. The volume's so loud, the sound physically hits you. Just to stay on your feet, you're moving like a surfer caught in the sound waves. You don't know where it will drop you. And while you're floating in that moment, nothing else matters. It's exciting. You're alive. You're totally at peace with everyone else here sharing this experience. You're in one of the tough barrios, the neighborhoods of Mexico City, dancing in the streets to this powerful sound system, which they simply call El Sonido, or the sound.
Yeah, for me, always people, what is cumbia? What is cumbia? For me, personal, it's a feeling. Like sometimes I'm happy and sometimes I'm horny and sometimes I'm depressed and sometimes I'm like cumbia, like just like it's a feeling.
I first came to Mexico 8 years ago as a young backpacker and DJ, and I fell in love with the cumbia I heard here, its hypnotic, dragging rhythm. When I returned to Melbourne, I decided to dedicate myself to cumbia full time with my Cumbia Cosmonauts project, producing and DJing cumbia, performing sometimes as a band or solo. Now I've come full circle, I've been invited back to Mexico to tour solo as Cumbia Cosmonauts, playing 16 shows in 10 Mexican cities. Everybody in Mexico knows that cumbia was born in Colombia on the Caribbean coast. In Colombia, it's a particular rhythm, it's a musical genre, and it's a dance. It has a simple 4-4 rhythm with that distinct offbeat hit. That's what creates the irresistible groove of cumbia. It's the national folk music of Colombia. But while I love the original cumbia from Colombia, what really inspired me as an artist was the cumbia I heard in Mexico. The way it takes place in the streets, with the sonidos and the emceeing the sonideros do over the music. It's a bit like toasting in Jamaica. And just like hip-hop that started with mobile sound systems in the Bronx, cumbia came to the streets of Mexico with the sonidos playing records from Colombia.
Óyelo, escúchalo, dale. Tiene sabor, díselo.
Mariana Delgado started out as an anthropologist, researching this movement. But along the way, she became part of the Sonidero family, and she's helped to bring this street music into elite venues like theaters and museums.
As soon as the technology was available to reproduce the music, it wasn't so available, you know, there would be only one turntable in the neighborhood. So the person with the turntable got to play the music for the family events and the neighborhood events as well. So they introduced new things into the performance. First, like all, they would send the shout out.
A la gente de Cuernavaca, Morelos. Todos los homies de la 3 de mayo de la cuarta zona. De la Liban.
And then they got to develop like this style of emceeing. And the salutations became over time an ever bigger thing.
¿Dónde están los chilangos, niños? Eso, yo quiero verlos contentos a toda la gente. Hacemos un programa musical.
Esta es la presencia directamente de México, desde el barrio de Tepito, Ramón Rojo Villa.
Mucha rima, mucho sabor. Pelo, pelo, pelo.
Éxito, éxito. And it has really gained momentum in the 70s and 80s, and it became something really strong about the street culture in Mexico City. The charisma of the sonidero, of the person behind the MC and DJ, was growing. He became like a messenger, really, like a, I don't know, more a priest of the dance.
Y vamos a iniciar, hágase la luz, y vamos con este tema del maestro Ray Pérez, dice, se llama Santa, siento una voz que me dice, Santa, siento una voz que me dice, Santa.
A people without music is a people without soul, is the shout out you'll hear at every show of this sonido, Sonido Sonorámico, one of the most famous sound systems in Mexico City. Like most sound systems, it was started as a family enterprise. One brother, Raúl, DJs and MCs, while his older brother, Manuel, has traveled all over the Caribbean, Central and South America, collecting vinyl records from as far back as the 1960s.
So people liked that those rhythms, but they couldn't really dance to it. It was too quick. And so what the sonideros did at first, like from the start, it's intervene their turntables and say, like, this has to go slower, and so slow the pitch and make it danceable the way Mexicans dance, which is not the way people dance in Colombia or in Puerto Rico or Santo Domingo or in Argentina. Like, we have all our different styles. And so the sonidos, they were able to tune in, you know, the two things, the Mexican dances and the sounds from Central America, and that was La Rebajada. And creating La Rebajada was genius. That's the way most of South America knows the cumbia. Like, la cumbia, it's not this very quick Colombian thing. It's more that cha.
The Mexican sonideros slowed down the Colombian records in the 50s and 60s. Then in the 70s, they started producing their own style of cumbia.
Estamos haciendo la mejor cumbia del mundo.
Slow and using electronic instruments like synthesizers. Then in the 90s, it spread across the Americas to Los Angeles, Lima, and Buenos Aires.
Cumbia!
I think they have been key for what happened to cumbia, and for cumbia belonging to all of us, to all of the countries in Latin America.
the Mexican sonideros not only slowed down the Colombian cumbia recordings, but they stripped back the folklore and reduced the groove to its essence, leaving just the drums and the bass. They liberated the rhythm. They gave this heartbeat first to the dancers on the streets of Mexico, then to the rest of Latin America, and ultimately all the way to me in Australia. And the internet meant that a new community of cumbia producers, calling their movement Digital Cumbia, could exchange music and ideas across the globe, from Latin America to Europe to Melbourne. Cumbia. Hi, Ali Guagua. Thanks for inviting me into your home here in Mexico City.
Hola, Cumbia Cosmonauts, Australia. I think I've been following your work since the MySpace days.
And I've been following yours the same, yeah. Ali Guagua is a vocalist with the band Cumbia Queers, who are based in Buenos Aires, but she lives in Mexico City. We met in her sunny upstairs apartment. The walls were covered in posters for political protests and her shows across Europe and South America.
I was playing punk in Mexico City with a band called Las Monas, with which my friend Therese Reeves is from Australia, and then with the Ultrasonicas. And the punk scene was really interesting in emerging in Mexico, but I always like all kinds of music. I don't know if being from Veracruz has a little bit to do with that, with a lot of marimba, salsa, son jarocho. But then it hit me when I really come to Mexico City and hear all the sonidero and the buses and a lot of public transportation with cumbia. And I love the lyrics and I love the rhythm. And it just like hit me like rock.
Black is what I am, black is what they call me. Because of my color, they insult me. My blessed God, what are you doing? That even my mother has abandoned me. I am black and I go on with my color until I die. Cumbia has been the soundtrack that's united millions of poor migrants who've come to the cities of Latin America. Forced to abandon their rural roots, they've created a new life, an identity in the toughest parts of a megalopolis like Mexico City.
Maybe fans of rock and roll can understand this. I don't know how to say it in words. For me, it's more than a style of music. And also, especially in Latin America, it's like a common language. It's like another Español.
For people know it, whether you're in Chile or in Mexico or...
Totalmente. Yeah, totally. And also, yeah, has this social issue. When we started the Cumbia Queers, it seemed like rock and roll had become a lot of like elitist music, because you know guitars cost so much and everybody dresses so well. What they were saying or singing about wasn't really, for me, as powerful as cumbia, especially cumbia villera, which is more critical. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Cumbia villera literally means ghetto cumbia. It's cumbia music specific to Argentina. Musically, it's influenced by the Mexican cumbia that the sonideros love DJing, but they sing about drugs, sex, and fighting the police. It's just like gangster rap and massively popular. But it's hated by the establishment. Cumbia right across Latin America is like rap music in the late 80s. It's huge, but it's marginalized by the mainstream music industry. The musicians have had to build their own studios and promote their own events. Like me, Ali Guagua loves this DIY ethos that's behind cumbia.
when we start playing, we start like bothering a lot of people, and we say like, yeah, yeah, so this is punk. Also, we share a lot of aesthetics, DIY aesthetics. I start to learn how cumbia people work, that they have their own trucks, their own labels. They play like 5 times a night. So they're like more independent and DIY than any of the people on the rock scene that I knew. So I also, that's why I think it's it has a lot of common, maybe not in the music, but in the way you do things.
Y ahorita, un clásico de la cumbia, un interpretado por la cumbia Cosmonauts en acordeón.
That's me performing a Cumbia Cosmonauts show in Mexico City in an indie rock venue. I'm giving a shout out to the accordion player in the recording, Nanin Cortés. He's from Monterrey, Mexico's second largest city, not far from the Texas border. It's known as Mexico's industrial powerhouse, but a few years ago its nightlife was shut down because of open street battles between drug cartels who controlled the center of the city. I wasn't sure if I should accept the invitation to play in Monterrey. I'd heard about the 18-piece cumbia band who were abducted after a gig and massacred. But I spoke to Randy Salazar Jr., a digital cumbia artist from Monterrey, and he reassured me that in the last few months the downtown area's becoming safe again. So I accepted the invitation from a group of young cumbia activists who've taken the risk of opening La Comunitaria, a new community space in downtown Monterrey. Randy Salazar Jr., thank you for inviting us to your house here.
You're very welcome. The Cumbia Cosmonaut here in Monterrey, Mexico. La cumbia realmente suena tal vez a sacrilegio.
This may sound sacrilegious. Of course, everybody recognizes that cumbia's roots come from Colombia. But today you could say that cumbia doesn't belong to anyone. Elements of cumbia are now fused with rock, with hip-hop, because it's adaptable. Nobody can say cumbia has to be like this or like that. There are no rules about what cumbia really is. That's why I keep producing cumbia, electronic, digital cumbia. When I started working with cumbia, it was really uncool, but I just loved the sound of the ghetto-style music. Some people don't accept our cumbia, but we do it anyway. Now history is repeating itself. Celso Piña had the same attitude when he started 2 decades ago. People say to him, this music not from here, but he said, well, I'm going to play it anyway. He did it at a time when cumbia was really unpopular. Maybe that's how it all started, by necessity or because we both wanted to be rebels.
Rebel.
Cumbia spread across Monterrey via bootleg recordings and pirate mixtapes. The poor sectors of society who call themselves Colombians were walking the streets culture with boomboxes going chuk, 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 rebajadas. The slowed down cumbia. That's how it became popular, even on radio. Sometimes they only put one battery into the boombox so that the cassette turned more slowly, slowing down the music.
Slower.
This song, Cumbia Sobre el Río, by Celso Piña, featuring hip-hop stars Control Machete, is a massive hit all over Latin America. It's elevated Monterrey Celso Piña to superstar status across North and South America. Celso Piña grew up in one of the toughest slums of Monterrey and taught himself how to play Colombian music, which is the soundtrack of the slums in this very wealthy city. Here, the rich and poor are neatly divided by a river. The song's called Cumbia about the river. It's an anthem celebrating what cumbia means to people who are doing it tough. Celso Piña's rags-to-riches tale truly embodies the music that's made him a household name. He's even made Nobel Prize-winning Colombian author Gabriel García Márquez dance. Since the mega-hit Cumbia Sobre el Río, Piña has collaborated with a string of Latin American music stars, toured all over the American continents and as far afield as Europe. That's where I met him, when I had the privilege of DJing one of his shows.
Vamos a dar un rol por el Mercado Juárez.
Before I left Monterrey, Randy Salazar Jr. took me digging for cumbia on vinyl in La Indepe, one of the tough neighborhoods on the poor side of the river. People there love Colombian music so much that they call themselves Colombians. They dress in baggy clothes like cholos, the gangsters from the US-Mexico border, and they dance as if they're sniffing glue.
Y aquí estamos en territorio colombiano. Está muy pedida la cumbia en vinil.
Así es. Aquí estamos en la colonia Independencia, Monterrey, Nuevo León, México.
Jorge Solís opened his vinyl-only record store in a dark, decrepit shopping center in La Indepe 15 years ago. He tells me a lot of people come into his shop looking for cumbia, but that it's hard to get on vinyl. I know I've come to the right place. I ask Jorge if he's noticed changes in his neighborhood these last few years. To which he diplomatically answers, yes, there have been changes. Later I look up La Indepe on YouTube and I'm confronted with videos that show the horrific violence that's rocked this part of the city, which has seen the worst of the war between drug cartels in the last few years.
La cumbia del amanecer.
Bueno. We spent 3 hours in Jorge's shop listening to the classics. When he introduced his song called Sunrise Cumbia, it sounded so full of life, it gave me hope for Monterrey's future. Visiting and performing in Monterrey ended up being one of the most memorable experiences of my Mexico tour. Back in Mexico City, I've been invited to one of its roughest neighborhoods, Iztapalapa. Like La Indepe, it's one of the poorest barrios. There are high levels of crime. Iztapalapa is home to one of Mexico's most famous cumbia bands, Los Ángeles Azules, who, like Celso Piña, started in the 1970s as a band of impoverished siblings with a dream to succeed. And they did. Everywhere I went in Mexico City, I heard the latest album, even in the expensive department stores in the city center. But I'm not in Iztapalapa to meet Los Ángeles Azules, the Blue Angels who dress in blue suits. I'm here to find out where cumbia may be going in the future.
DJ Alan Rosales.
There's no better person to talk to than second generation DJ Alan Rosales. He's the son of Pedro Rosales, owner-operator of Sonido Marshall, one of the better-known sound systems in Mexico City. The semi-trailer full of their speakers and lighting rigs was parked out the front of their large family home. They'd decorated the front yard with leftover LED disco lights. Alan's home studio is basic, just a desk, a laptop, and a pair of speakers. It was inspiring to see this production whiz kid work with such simple software called Fruity Loops, making music that's known throughout Mexico. They call him the Prince of Tribal.
I started making music because I've been around music all my life, because of my dad who has sonido. Whenever my dad went to play somewhere, I went with him. I love watching the DJ. My dad didn't really want me to work with the sonido because he was scared I wouldn't study, but in the end, he couldn't stop me, it was in my blood.
Tribal es como una cumbia rápida, o sea, porque las congas van a destiempo, no van como cuadradas.
Tribal is like fast cumbia, because the congas play off the beat, they don't play on the beat like they do in electronic dance music.
Entonces, es como una cumbia súper rápida.
Tribal briefly became hugely popular, not just in Mexico, but in the hippest clubs around the world. Alan's father, Pedro, started with nothing, and built up one of Mexico City's best-known sound systems, But the future for the sonidos is uncertain. As Mexico City gentrifies, the days of the big street parties are numbered. Developers are moving in, and the sonideros are losing access to public spaces. Like many hardworking people from the ghetto, the Rosales family invested in their children's education, and now Alan has a secure office job by day. By night, he's producing music for clubs around the world. Mariana Delgado says when the sonidos go, it's not just music that will be lost, but a whole culture.
What happens when very different people meet together with the sonidero movement is they are really open. They really want to share. And they will show you like their majestic culture, and then they will take your hand and boom, make you dance. And so it's a really integrating scene, and as well, like the sonidero scene itself, it has been, since its beginnings, it has been a space of tolerance. Like, it was the first space of popular recreation where transsexuals, transvestis, pansexuals, homosexuals were welcome. Like, sonidero scene and lucha libre, you know, from the beginning. And so they are very welcoming of diversity. And that hasn't, in a way, that's what it always helps to come to make beautiful events.
When I got this shout out from the biggest sonidero in Mexico City, La Changa, I felt proud to be part of the cumbia scene. It was the culmination of my cumbia dream, which started on that fateful trip to Mexico in 2007. As Mariana says, if you enter the sonidero universe with respect, you're welcomed. The sonideros invite you to their island of tropical sound away from the daily grind, entrancing you with their exotic dance floor songs that carry the promise of paradise. As a cumbia cosmonaut, my mission has been to get a glimpse of this paradise and return back to Earth to spread the heartbeat.
And on RN's Earshot podcast, you've been listening to The Cumbia Phenomenon, a program produced by DJ Moses Iten, whose Cumbia Cosmonauts project is just one of the many things that he gets up to. Lots more information on the Earshot website. And I'm David Rutledge. It's been great to have your company. Hope you can join me next time. Bye for now.